Hello, this is Adrienne Hendricks.
And Jerry Hendricks from Save One More Now, Incorporated, where our focus is to lovingly confront all activities that dishonor human life created in the image of God. There is no greater dishonor to God in human life than to reject His eternal salvation only available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us.
Today, we are honored to present the Word of God. We pray that this message will minister to each of you as you allow the Holy Spirit to do in your hearts what only He can do. We have this assurance at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
According to GotQuestions.org, although some include the book of Hebrews among the Apostle Paul's writings, the certain identity of the author remains an enigma. Missing is Paul's customary salutation common to his other works. In addition, the suggestion that the writer of this epistle relied upon knowledge and information provided by others who were actually eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ makes Pauline authorship doubtful. Some attribute Luke as its writer. Others suggest Hebrews may have been written by Apollos, Barnabas, Silas, Philip, or Aquila and Priscilla.
Regardless of the human hand that held the pen, the Holy Spirit of God is the divine author of all Scripture, as we read at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Therefore, Hebrews speaks with the same canonical authority as the other 65 books of the Bible. The book of Hebrews addresses three separate groups: believers in Christ, unbelievers who had knowledge of and an intellectual acceptance of the facts of Christ, and unbelievers who were attracted to Christ but who rejected Him ultimately. It is important to understand which group is being addressed in which passage. To fail to do so can cause us to draw conclusions inconsistent with the rest of Scripture.
The writer of Hebrews continually makes mention of the superiority of Christ in both his personage and in his ministering work. In the writings of the Old Testament, we understand the rituals and ceremonies of Judaism symbolically pointed to the coming of Messiah. In other words, the rites of Judaism were but shadows of things to come. Hebrews tells us that Christ Jesus is better than anything mere religion has to offer. All the pomp and circumstance of religion pales in comparison to the person, work, and ministry of Jesus Christ. It is the superiority of our Lord Jesus, then, that remains the theme of this eloquently written letter.
Following are some key points in the first six chapters of Hebrews. Chapter 1 speaks to the supremacy of Jesus, God's Son. Chapter 2 warns against the neglect of God's salvation. Chapter 3 clearly demonstrates that Jesus is greater than Moses and warns against unbelief. Chapter 4 demonstrates that for God's people, there is a Sabbath rest and shows how Jesus is the great high priest. In chapter 5, we would do well to heed the warning against apostasy, that is, falling away from the truth. Chapter 6 tells us that God's promises are so certain that we can bank on them.
It is our great joy to bring you chapters 1 through 6 of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, God, having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, has at the end of these days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. His Son is the radiance of His glory, the very image of His substance, and upholding all things by the word of His power, who, when He had by Himself purified us of our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. having become so much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they have. For to which of the angels did he say at any time, You are my son, today I have become your father, and again I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. When he again brings in the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all the angels of God worship him. Of the angels, he says, Who makes his angels winds and his servants a flame of fire.
But of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you continue. They all will grow old like a garment does. You will roll them up like a mantle, and they will be changed. But you are the same. Your years will not fail. But which of the angels has he told at any time, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet? Aren't they all serving spirits set out to do service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?
Chapter 2. Therefore we ought to pay greater attention to the things that were heard, lest perhaps we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first had been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard? God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, by various works of power, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he didn't subject the world to come, of which we speak, to angels. But one has somewhere testified, saying, What is man that you think of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we don't see all things subjected to him yet.
But we see him who has been made a little lower than the angels, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for everyone. For it became him for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many children to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brothers. Among the congregation I will sing your praise. Again, I will put my trust in him. Again, behold, here I am with the children whom God has given me. Since then the children have shared in flesh and blood, he also himself in the same way partook of the same, that through death he might bring to nothing him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all of them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For most certainly he doesn't give help to angels, but he gives help to the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he was obliged in all things to be made like his brothers, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted.
Chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as also was Moses and all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. But Christ is faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence in the glorying of our hope firm to the end. Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, like as in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me by proving me and saw my deeds for 40 years.
Therefore, I was displeased with that generation and said, they always err in their heart, but they didn't know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Beware, brothers, lest perhaps there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, when they heard, rebelled? No, didn't all those who came out of Egypt by Moses? With whom was he displeased 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they wouldn't enter into his rest, but to those who were disobedient? We see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief.
Chapter 4. Less fear, therefore, lest perhaps any one of you should seem to have come short of a promise of entering into his rest. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, even as they also did, but the word they heard didn't profit them, because it wasn't mixed with faith by those who heard. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said this somewhere about the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, they will not enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some should enter into it, and they to whom the good news was preached before fail to enter in because of disobedience. He again defines a certain day, today, saying through David, so long a time afterward, just as has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts.
For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterward of another day. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold tightly to our confession, for we don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one who has been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace for help in time of need.
Chapter 5. For every high priest, being taken from among men, is appointed for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The high priest can deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, because he himself is also surrounded with weakness. Because of this, he must offer sacrifices for sins for the people as well as for himself. Nobody takes this honor on himself, but he is called by God, just like Aaron was. So also Christ didn't glorify himself to be made a high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek."
He, in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and petitions with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became to all of those who obey him the author of eternal salvation, named by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About him we have many words to say and hard to interpret, seeing you have become dull of hearing. For although by this time you should be teachers, you again need to have someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the revelations of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is not experienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food is for those who are full grown, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil.
Therefore, leaving the teaching of the first principles of Christ, let's press on to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God, of the teaching of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permits. For concerning those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify the Son of God for themselves again, and put him to open shame. For the land which has drunk the rain that comes often on it and produces a crop suitable for them for whose sake it is also tilled receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and near being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things for you and things that accompany salvation, even though we speak like this. For God is not unrighteous, so as to forget your work and the labor of love which you showed toward his name, and that you served the saints and still do serve them.
We desire that each one of you may show the same diligence to the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you won't be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and perseverance inherited the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." Thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by a greater one, and in every dispute of theirs the oath is final for confirmation. In this way, God, being determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil. Whereas a forerunner, Jesus entered for us, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
We will continue with chapters 7 through 10 of the book of Hebrews next week.
We at Say One More Now Incorporated encourage all listeners to seek the Lord for his calling on your life. If you faithfully spend time with him throughout the day, you will come to know without a doubt that he really loves you and he has a purpose for your being here.
We can be reached by email at truelife@saveonemorenow.org or our telephone number in the United States, 850-727-0493. We look forward to joining you next week and ask you to remember,
life is good. God gives life. God is good.